Chapter 1. Monique put her last dress on a hanger before closing her blue travel bag and placing it in the bottom of the closet. The room was large and luxuriously furnished. Her parents, Faye and Kane Montague, had rented this vampire-proof Victorian mansion in Russian Hill, a ritzy neighborhood in San Francisco, because a stay in a hotel wasn't possible for them. As full-blooded vampires, they had to stay out of the sun, and this house had been retrofitted with all amenities to ensure a vampire's well-being. As a vampire hybrid, Monique didn't have the same weaknesses as her parents, and she was glad for it. It gave her more freedom, something she craved. Living in her parents' palace just outside of New Orleans came with restrictions. The King's Guard, an elite troop of security personnel, was ever present, and she could barely take a step without feeling the shadow of one of the bodyguards on her back. Kane had insisted on 3 bodyguards accompanying them on their New Year's vacation to San Francisco. However, she had no intention of letting the guards get in the way of her enjoying the city. She was no stranger to ditching her bodyguards, which was something her father constantly kept scolding her about. But at age 31, she wanted to live an independent life and not the life of a literal princess. She wanted to be normal, or at least as normal as a vampire hybrid could be. Monique looked out of the big sash window and gazed at the lights of the city. She had a perfect view of Coit Tower, which was illuminated in multiple colors that changed every few seconds. Farther beyond, to the left of it, she could make out Alcatraz Island, the erstwhile maximum security prison that had been turned into a museum. It too sparkled with bright lights. At the ringing of her cell phone, Monique walked to the nightstand. When she saw who was calling, a smile curved her lips upward. She clicked to accept the video call. "Hey, Zach," she greeted her brother when she noticed that their brother David was right next to Zach. "Hey, David." As triplets, they'd always been close and spent as much time as they could in each other's company, even as adults. "Hey, sis," Zach and David greeted her cheerfully. "Where are you guys?" "Still in Gustad," Zach said. "They've got fresh powder here. You should have come." "You know how much I hate cold weather," Monique said with a shake of her head. "Besides, I'd rather hang out in a city where I speak the language." David laughed. "Trust me, half the people here are Americans. In fact, we just got invited to spend New Year's Eve with some hot chicks from New York." "Yeah, in a remote cabin," Zach added. "You know what that means." He winked. She didn't have to be a genius to figure that out. "I'd just be the third wheel." The video froze, and she heard a crackling noise. "Zach? David? You're breaking up." "Yeah, connection. There's a storm coming in," David finally said. "We won't be able to ski tomorrow because of it. Just as well that we'll be switching to indoor sports." He exchanged a look with Zach, and both grinned. She decided not to comment on that remark. "A storm?" Monique asked instead. "Are you sure you'll be safe? What about avalanches?" "Don't worry," Zach said quickly. "It's safe here. They have an avalanche warning system. It's just a winter storm. We might get snowed in for a couple of days, but it won't be an issue." "Well, I wouldn't want to chance it. Just as well that I decided to come to San Francisco with Mom and Dad. We have clear weather here, no rain in the forecast. I'm just about to go exploring." Again, the video pixelated, then froze, and Monique could hear only fragments of a sentence. "Party at Skangard's." "What?" Monique asked. "You guys are breaking up again." The video finally restarted, and Zach said, "Can you hear us now?" "Yeah, now I can hear you. What about the Skangard's New Year's Eve party?" David exchanged a conspiratorial look with Zach. "What?" Monique asked, impatient now. "You're probably okay with it, right?" Zach asked, then glanced at his brother. David grunted under his breath. "Leave it be." She stared at her brothers. "Okay with what?" "I mean, you probably already guessed why Mom and Dad wanted you to go to San Francisco with them," Zach continued, while David rammed his elbow into his brother's ribs. "They knew I didn't want to go skiing," she replied, but the hackles on the back of her neck rose. Something was off. So why wouldn't I come to San Francisco with them? 'Cause you're being set up with Grayson, Zach said bluntly. Fuck Zach. David cursed and glared at his brother. What? For a moment, Monique didn't even know who they were talking about. Then it clicked. Grayson? Grayson, the arrogant jerk, Woodford? Zach made a grimace. So he's still an ass 20 years later. Monique assumed as much. I haven't seen him since he visited us in New Orleans when I was 11. You can't possibly think that Mom and Dad would try to set me up with him. That's ludicrous. They know I never liked him. Well, I overheard Mom and Dad talking about it a few days before the trip, Zach said and shrugged. For what it's worth, Mom wasn't keen on the idea, but Dad insisted. She was pissed. How could he? Why would he do that? I can find my own boyfriends. In fact, she was rather good at picking up men whenever she wanted male company. I guess Dad doesn't like your taste in boyfriends. No offense, but most of them were doormats, Zach said. Hate to agree with Zach, David added, but you can do better than the guys you've been dating lately. You too. Monique glared at her siblings. And you think Grayson is an upgrade from my previous boyfriends? Yeah, right. He was a little prick when he was 12, and I bet he's gotten worse since then. What the fuck was Dad thinking? I'm sure he meant well, Zach replied. He meant well, she ground out, pressing her lips together tightly. I'm not gonna date Grayson Woodford, even if he's the last man on Earth, and the survival of our species depended on it. He's an arrogant fuck. David jabbed Zach in the side once more. See? You shouldn't have told her. Damn it, Zach. Then he looked back into the camera. Sis, you could still fly out to Gustad and join us, though you'll probably miss the New Year's Eve party here. We're 9 hours ahead of you. I'm glad you told me, Monique said. At least now I won't be running into an ambush. So you're coming to Gustad? David asked. No, I'm still not interested in freezing my butt off in some remote cabin and feel like the third wheel. She wasn't in the mood to listen to her brothers fuck the women they'd just hooked up with. Zach asked. You're gonna have it out with Dad, aren't you? He won't know what hit him. If he thinks he can control me, he's got another think coming. Both David and Zach grimaced. Do me a favor, Zach said. Don't mention I was the one who told you. Or I might have to stay in Switzerland indefinitely. Monique huffed. You should have told me before I got on the jet to San Francisco. Sorry, sis. Zach looked almost crushed. Why don't you go out and let off some steam? Huh. You'll feel better afterwards. That's a brilliant idea, David added. There are some great bars in San Francisco. The Black Velvet is a really classy pickup joint in the financial district. I was there 2 years ago when I visited, and every time I went there, I scored. It's just what you need right now. Trust me. She let out a breath. Promise you'll calm down before confronting Dad, Zach added. Don't be emotional about it. Just tell him that you can make your own decisions, and that you don't want his interference. I hate to agree with this idiot next to me, but going to a bar and hooking up with somebody is probably the best thing you can do right now. She hated to admit it, but her brothers were probably right. Having sex with a stranger always helped her see things clearly and get rid of the tension that was coursing through her body. All right. Okay then, Zach said. Happy New Year, sis. Yes, Happy New Year, David added. And I hope you get everything you wish for. Happy New Year. I love you both. Monique disconnected the call. She tossed the cell phone on the bed, still seething. Why was her father trying to trick her into a relationship with Grayson Woodford, the presumptive heir of the Scanguard's fortune? It couldn't be for money or connections, since the Louisiana Kingdom was already connected to Scanguard's. In January, a new Scanguard's branch was going to open in New Orleans, and it would be staffed by select vampires from Louisiana and San Francisco. Who would actually be running the branch hadn't been announced yet, but Monique was hoping that she was on the shortlist of candidates. This position would enable her to finally get out from under her father's thumb and prove to him and everybody else that she was ready to lead. But clearly Kane didn't have enough confidence in her, or why else would he decide that she needed a boyfriend or husband, and in particular one he had chosen? Getting more annoyed by the minute, Monique opened her closet. Zach and David were right. She needed to let off steam first before she confronted her father and told him what she thought of his plan. She chose a figure-hugging black cocktail dress that showed off her cleavage but was still understated enough so she wouldn't look out of place in a bar. She opted for simple diamond stud earrings, leaving her bracelets and necklaces in the jewelry box she'd brought. She didn't want to attract the wrong man by flashing expensive jewelry. There was no need for makeup. As a hybrid, she was blessed with flawless skin. When she was ready, she slung a small black handbag over her shoulder and walked downstairs. Arriving at the foot of the stairs, a shrill sound startled her. Coo. 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 She looked in the direction of the sound and found a kitschy clock hanging on the wall. She shook her head at it. Some people had no taste. Taking a breath, she crossed the foyer. From the corner of her eye, she saw William, one of the king's guards, sitting on a chair in the living room of the large Victorian. He rose and joined her in the foyer. "William, have you seen my parents?" "They left earlier to visit with John and Savannah." Monique remembered that her parents had mentioned that they wanted to get together with John, who'd been Kane's king's guard many years earlier, and had saved his life when Kane's brother Abel had tried to usurp Kane and steal his kingdom and his fiancée, Faye. "Do you want me to drive you to John's house so you can join them?" "No thanks, William. I'm going out to meet friends for a drink." "I'll come with you," William announced. "That won't be necessary. I can take care of myself." "But..." "I said no," Monique interrupted. "Or would you like me to tell my father that you made sexual advances toward me?" William glared at her. "That would be a lie." "He was right. Do you really want to risk my father believing me rather than you?" He narrowed his eyes. "Is that what you threaten all your bodyguards with, so they let you go out without protection?" She shrugged. "It works. Why change it?" She sailed past him. "Enjoy your free evening, William." He didn't stop her from leaving. Outside, she hailed a taxi and got in. "Where to, miss?" "The Black Velvet in the financial district." "Do you need an address?" "No, I know it, miss." "No problem." Monique leaned back in her seat, and the taxi drove down the hill toward North Beach and the financial district.